know, to the show, he comes to me, Sergi, I'm going to be honest with you. I bought tickets because I was like, oh, there is something in Spanish in London. Let's go. But it's probably going to be shit. So he bought tickets thinking the show was going to be shit. And at the end, I was like, and how was it? He's like, look, I'm not going to tell you if I think it was amazing or not. I'm just going to tell you we were two and we just bought 10 tickets for the next show because I'm bringing 8 friends to the next one. So I was like, oh, cool.
Welcome to Comedy with an Accent podcast. I'm your Taiwanese comedian, Quan Wen. I interview comedians who perform English stand-up comedy but who are not native English speakers or they can have a very distinct British regional accent. This podcast is all about comedy, about accent, about languages, and about the comedy technique. So stay tuned if you're interested. Hola, bienvenidos nuevamente a un nuevo episodio de Comedia con Acento. This is like the 5th attempt. I can't fake the excitement.
I can fake surprises. It still surprises me that you have good Spanish. Your Spanish is good.
That's really cool. I don't actually speak Spanish. I'll explain. I never tried to speak any Spanish with you ever, though. Have I?
No, just now.
Just now, yeah.
Or when you say hola to me, but that's it.
Yeah, I thought I need to make an effort. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Comedy with an Accent. I have my second ever returning guest. Today, I have invited back Sergi Polo from season 1, episode 16. And the last recording date was 4th of October, 2022.
Wow.
That was 2 years ago.
Can't believe it's 2 years.
The episode was released, I think, end of 2022.
Wow. Here we are. I'm back.
You're back. Very different person. Not like you've changed, but I barely knew you at that time.
Yeah.
And I think you were still kind of new and you're trying different things, trying to find out. I invited Sergi back for a very specific reason. And since this is a returning episode, I'm not going to ask you the question whether you've got an accent. We've done all that. Mm-hmm. I listened back to our last episode. There was a lot of talking about stereotypes. They were talking about racism, the attitude towards racism. It was quite a heavy episode, actually.
Yeah, I think I'm going to avoid that subject this time.
No. It wasn't unintended, but it was a very nice joke. The clip coming from the Takeshi's Castle.
Yeah.
The yellow humor
episode. That did very well,
right? That did very well, exactly. Yeah. So I invited Sergi back for, there is a comedy show in London. Actually, it's gone beyond London. We just talk about it. It's called Comedy Por Favor. And it's Sergi's baby.
Comedy Por Favor. Yeah. It's actually my baby now.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't my intention.
What do you mean it's your baby now? Was it not your baby to start with?
No. It was just like, for a while, I had a lot of people telling me, it's like, oh, Sergi, you should try to do a show in Spanish in London. And I was like, okay, yeah, let's do one and let's see what happens. So we did one. It was great. So we're like, oh, cool. Let's do another one. So we did another one. And again, it was great. Okay, cool. Let's try to like have this regularly and let's see what happens. And since then, we've been doing one or some months too in London. And we've been doing it for like this February is going to be 2 years.
2 years?
2 years. And wow. It's always sold out in like weeks in advance. Every time I go on stage and I'm like, give me a cheer if you've never been to Comedy Por Favor. And more than half of the crowd cheers. So I'm like, where were you? We've been doing this.
New arrivals.
Yeah. Not at all. That's the thing. It's not possible to have like a full room of new arrivals because of Brexit. They are there.
In case it's not obvious, I think a lot of people who know a little bit Spanish will pick up when we say Por Favor is please in Spanish. Mm-hmm. So Comedy Por Favor is a show, a comedy show in London. Multicultural but an English-speaking city, and there's a regular, a very popular show of stand-up comedy in Spanish.
Yeah.
That's the focus of this discussion today. Out of curiosity, so you're saying a show is growing and you have taken the show outside London to Brighton. Mm-hmm. You just talk about you book a room, you have more than 200 people coming to a show in Brighton.
Yeah.
Where else have you taken the show to?
We've done Brighton, we've done Bristol, Edinburgh. I've tried to do Liverpool and it got cancelled for technical reasons, and I literally today, on my way here, I emailed the room to be like, hey, can we come to Liverpool? Because a lot of people are asking me Manchester and Liverpool, so I'm going to try to do Liverpool.
I would love to see those people come into a show in Liverpool where they speak English or Scouts accent. That would be...
Imagine Spanish with a Scouts accent. But actually, in Liverpool, Manchester, you have a lot of Spanish people, and then Ireland as well. Every time I post, everyone is like, hey, when are you coming to Ireland? And I'm like, I do have to come. It's just, it's not that easy. I have agent in Spain, but not in the UK. So it's like anything outside of Spain, I have to do it myself.
That's go back to the genesis of this Spanish comedy show in London, because there are similar initiative from other language groups. So as far as I know, Huber tried to do German comedy show in London a couple of times. There were people, but not on a similar scale. And if you think that there are actually quite substantial amount of French-speaking people who live in London, there is a French comedy show, but it's just not on the same scale again.
No, I think the reason why, because I had a lot of people asking me how I did it, because they want to do the same in other languages. And I think lots of things got together and then worked. So the first one is how we are culturally. Because I've done those French shows, and I can feel like crowds are keen to come, but they're more reserved, while Spanish people, they really want to go out and like have a laugh. And also I feel like if I do Spanish show in London, you have all the Spanish people that would come.
It has to do with Spanish being one of the most widely spoken language around the world to start with, right?
Yeah. And then you also have like people from Latin America. And then you also have like lots of Brits. They speak Spanish and they come to practice. Mm. So it's like it's all these three groups of people.
Now, let's get a bit more specific. When you said someone ask you, Sergio, why don't you do the comedy show in Spanish? Are you talking about fellow comedians or is comedy audience members?
They do, but the first idea was from a comedian.
Oh, who was it?
It was Barry Ferns. He was the first one who was like, Sergio, you should do comedy in Spanish. That's your niche. That's your people.
Do you remember how long ago that was, that conversation?
That was over 2 years ago, because I remember it took me a while since he told me, and he was not pushing, but be like, Sergio, trust me, it's going to work. And it took me a few months, and then I was like, cool, let's organize one. And because I did it with Soraya, we became like really good friends. She's from Madrid, and we had a podcast together. And to prepare the show for London, I took her, Katie Green, she's a very funny comedian from El Salvador, Luke Chilton, which is an English comedian based in London, and I took all of them to Barcelona for a week. And they stayed in my house, and we would do all the open mics in Spanish so they could practice for the London show.
Okay. So, can I ask? I think people will be wondering why. These are all really great comedians, but they are used to performing in English.
Yes.
Even though Spanish is either their mother tongue or they are fluent, they rarely perform in Spanish.
Yeah.
And you can't just direct translate everything. Sometimes something don't work.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a very prudent approach. You do it at open mics in Spain. So to tweak it to a good quality level, and then you bring the show back to London.
Because it was the first one and I wanted that one to go well. I just wanted them to be able to practice, and me as well, because I was going to MC. And it was one of the best comedy trips.
You see, I think there's a merit in doing this show. I think you're as a returning guest. I didn't know about this trip. That's preparation.
Yeah, this trip was booked after we recorded, I think. So basically what I did is my parents left the house. They left. They left
me
the flat.
Just get out.
Literally, they went to my grandma's house and I stayed. I was sleeping in my parents' bed with Luke, and then Soraya and Katie stayed in my room.
It almost sounds like a reality TV show.
Yeah,
concept.
Yeah. No, it was great. It was great. We went out. I took them to eat like really nice paella. We did like a great holiday in Barcelona, and every night we were gigging. There was this kind of excitement for the scene there, because first of all, some people already knew Soraya, but also it was like, oh, three of them are like professional comedians in London in English are coming to the city. Every single open mic we did, it was sold out.
How did you know though? Because you started your comedy journey, or you started here?
No, I started there for a few months and then I came here.
Ah, so you do have some contacts.
I have some contacts and I know the venue, so it's like I know a few people who runs them. But also because I'm very organized, I message them in like months in advance. So they're like, yeah, and of course they have a space. Not like, yeah.
Oh shit, is it mine?
Your watch. Yeah.
Which
Quan,
sounded?
Hold on, let me do a pause here. So Quan has the same problem that lots of comedians have, which is they buy this Casio to go on stage and so they know what time, like with the time they're on when they're doing their set, and they don't know that you can turn these off.
I turn it off, but sometimes for whatever reason, when I'm changing it, it turns it back on again. It's okay. We have another hour before that.
The amount of comedians that in green rooms, I'm like, just give me your watch, and I turn them off. I turn that off. It's like, oh my god, I didn't know you can turn it off. I've done it like probably 5-6 times. It's
I
like,
just want to support a Japanese company when Koreans are taking over everything.
Fair enough. I remember one time there was this man outside. He didn't know me. He didn't know Soraya. And one day someone told him, or like he saw a poster or something, and they bought tickets. And when I was outside with him outside the show, he comes to me. Sergi, I'm going to be honest with you. I bought tickets because I was like, oh, there is something in Spanish in London. Let's go. But it's probably going to be shit. So he bought tickets thinking the show was going to be shit. And at the end, I was like, and how was it? He's like, look, I'm not going to tell you if I think it was amazing or not. I'm just going to tell you we were two and we just bought 10 tickets for the next show because I'm bringing 8 friends to the next one. So I was like, oh, cool. That meant a lot because sometimes people can tell you, oh, it was a good show and then they leave and maybe it's not true. But if someone just tells you, I just bought 10 tickets for the next one, I'm like, oh, he liked it. So I was very happy when this happened because it's like, it's easier to sell maybe at the beginning, but if you want to like keep doing the shows, you have to put on a good show.
Yeah, because you can easily fall into the trap being a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
And if you want to come back, it has to be good.
There is a couple who's been 8 times to the show.
But let me say this, because before this recording, and I thought I at least have to go once, but I don't speak Spanish at all. I have rudimentary level of Italian. That gave me the fake confidence that though maybe I understand enough keywords. So I went. The Spanish spoken was so fast. I think I understood 10% of what's going on, but it was such a joyful atmosphere. And I have to say, coming from my perspective, and I say to Sergi after the show, I was deeply moved as an outsider. I say to Sergi that, did you realize you provided something for these people who are immigrants in a foreign land and they crave for something they understood in their mother tongue? It's not just entertainment. Emotionally, it was something very rewarding and thriving for the audience because there's a lot of things that keep reminding them they live in a foreign city. But at least for that 2 hours that month, when they sit in the room, enjoying jokes in their native tongue, they feel like they'd be transported back home just for the 2 hours. And if you're going through a lot of shit from the city you live in, that 2 hours can be very, very therapeutic.
Oh, big time. And that's why we're lucky. The shows, there is a percentage of the show. It's a bit easier than just a normal show, or that if we were doing that show in Spain, because when we do the Spanish shows, people come and there is this element of excitement that we're doing something in Spanish that they are already keen to laugh and ready to laugh.
You say they're goodwill, they're up for it already.
Yeah, from the beginning. I barely have to warm them up. They're just there like, let's go.
Yeah,
in Spanish.
There is, the air was filled with excitement, joy. It's like a carnival, a fiesta. The other thing I do notice though, there was a lot of chit-chatting going on, especially the aunties.
Spanish people are a bit like that. Well, Spanish speakers, but I would say the ones that were chatting that they were Spanish.
Yeah.
We don't have a stand-up culture of going to a comedy club. Mm-hmm. And some people, that was probably the first time that they went to a comedy show.
And they don't know what to expect. So, this is all new experience for me.
And in Spain, the new comedians, the ones that are being famous now, are mostly doing crowd work. And that's what's happening online. So they think that they can come and just chat.
Oh, but that same phenomenon also happened on the English side, to be fair. But this is to explain why people can be a bit chatty.
Yeah,
because they watch online are people interacting with the MC. Yeah. So they thought, that's not rude. They're contributing to the comedy show in a way. Is it why you didn't really try to shut down or shush them?
I tried a bit and I tried to like at least make them aware. I don't want to be mean. They were quiet when the comedians were on, and that's what I care about as an MC. You can heckle me or like when I'm on, but like when the acts are on, just be respectful. And I feel like they were being respectful.
Right.
Otherwise, I would have done something.
But you see, I was sitting next to two, I would say, sort of millennial Spanish women. Mm-hmm. They were just chatting throughout. And normally, if I were at a comedy show, an English comedy show, and someone keep chatting, at some point I would even turn around and say, would you mind, you know, like in a passive aggressive way. But and I thought, I'm at a Spanish comedy show, so like I'm in the minority here, and no one else seems to mind. No one else seems to turn around. No one else did it. You know, that sort of English passive aggressive sound. And I thought, okay, so I am the absolute minority. I better keep my mouth shut. So I didn't say anything to them.
Yeah, the day you came, they were quite rowdy and quite chatty. They're not.
To be fair,
like
you
that.
Did start the show by describing a group of older ladies as swingers. So
yeah, they were. That's the example of like, I could literally tell that group of people, they probably had never been to a comedy show. So I had to be like, guys, be quiet. Because every time we said something, they would just like turn and chat, and you just have to like kind of like educate them. And I feel like by the end, they understood what that was.
They did. They
but
did,
at the beginning, they were just chatting.
Now I'm going to come to a slightly geekier question. Spanish is widely spoken amongst so many countries, but there are differences in vocabulary and pronunciation. So one example, the th in Spain, people in Latin America, they don't do that, right?
Yeah.
But I think this kind of key differences, people from different Spanish countries can easily understand. Are there misunderstanding during the show because a certain word is understood differently in different Spanish-speaking countries?
Yeah, like for example, but we know the differences and we know where people are from.
Yeah.
There is no problem, but I'll give you the...
If I say tortilla, you're thinking of the omelet thing, but Mexican think of the chips.
Yeah, but Mexican, they can hear I'm Spanish, so they know what I'm talking about.
Interesting. So with that Spanish accent, they will automatically assume you're talking about the omelet.
Yeah. Like, for example, the main one, the funniest one is the word coger. Coger is to grab in Spanish.
Yeah.
And in, I don't know if it's like all South America or some parts, but that means to have sex with someone. So it's like, So basically, when we say that word, they're always like, they use that word. But they know that in Spanish, that means to grab something.
But it is still funny.
Or there is another one that's very funny that happened to me when I went to Mexico. The word regalar. In Spanish, that means to give someone something as a gift.
Yeah.
At least in Mexico, when I was, that means that, can you give me this for a second? As in like, if you go to a hotel and they're like, oh, can you regalar me your ID? Can you give me your ID as a present? That's what I understand as a Spaniard. So it's like, it's not confusing because like when Latin American people listen to us, they know what we mean.
Okay. So this is sidetrack because I'm watching the time and I'm really interested in this geeky question. You know, we were talking about comedy, the jokes based on ideas, right? Mm-hmm. In theory, I the show in London, not the open mic comedy in Spain, because I know you may have Latin Americans, immigrants in Spain, but in this show, you have a higher percentage of a mixed nationality from Spanish-speaking countries, right?
Yeah.
So there's a potential to...
I want that to be more mixed.
Yeah? Even more mixed.
And I'm trying to push, even myself, but like I need to make some comments to like some comedians. The show right now is very Spanish-focused.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't want that, especially like Latin American people. I want them to come and feel included. Some people told me, it's like, hey, don't assume that everyone is Spanish. And I'm like, oh, it's true. Because usually the percentage is like 85%, 90% Spanish, 5% Latin American people. And the other 5 is like people from other countries that are also Spanish.
How do you advertise in Elephant and Castle?
Yeah, I thought we should. But before I do it, I need to start learning how to include them more in the show.
That's interesting. I was assuming more like 60-40. I wasn't thinking.
And I need also to ask comedians to stop making references. Like, I don't know. I don't want to tell people what to say on the stage or not, but sometimes the reference is like a neighborhood in Madrid or like a politician in Spain. And I'm like, hey, not everyone here is from Spain.
It's sort of like in the beginning, you try to create a different universe, but you don't want to negate the original ideas. You want to be inclusive.
Yeah, I love Latin American people and I want them to come to the show and I want them to have fun. And I feel bad when suddenly I jump off the stage and realize that like the last 5 minutes were about a very specific thing like that's Spanish and that they don't have their moment. And
it's like someone from London going to Ireland and doing a joke about Croydon, which is a borough in South London.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. It's something I'm trying to change now, and for the next show, I'm gonna try to just do crowd work with Latin American people. I want them to be included and tell me about what it is to, I don't know, to like to be Colombian and live in London.
This is absolutely fascinating because I just got interested in this geeky question on the vocabulary differences. I didn't know that your next move, like the goal you try to achieve is to be more inclusive with the Latin American communities. Mm-hmm. My original question was, it is actually possible to make more jokes on the misunderstanding of vocabulary because of different Spanish spoken in different countries. I remember this great joke from Trevor Noah. Mm-hmm. He was talking about the napkins. He was trying to buy tacos and then there was confusion between napkin and I think it's called serviette in South
America.
That's the joke. And in a way for the audience, they may be vaguely aware of other types of Spanish being spoken, but by coming to the show, they also become more knowledgeable.
Yeah, although this is not the type of comedy I'm used to do, so I don't do jokes about differences or like between words or cultures or something like that. I'm very...
Yeah, but you create an environment as some comedians, if they're interested.
Oh, no, definitely.
They can do it,
yes. Yeah. And I always say, I don't know how to write that type of...
I think you're being too humble.
But also, I don't want to.
Okay. I'm going to ask you about a very particular group, which I find interesting, but I don't want to take too much Mickey out of them. People who think they are fluent enough in Spanish and come to the show only to realize their Spanish actually aren't that good, but the effort should be applauded. So the show I went to, there were two English speakers you talked to. Yeah. One lady, you can clearly hear, it was like a GCSE of Spanish. She may have just enjoyed the atmosphere, but we don't know. Now, in your experience, how much of those English speakers that come to the show are actually fluent?
More than what you think. Yes. I feel like if an English person speaks Spanish, usually the level is quite high. Mm-hmm. If they come to a show like this,
yes,
they might not speak it a lot, but they understand when you talk to them. Some of them, sometimes they don't, or sometimes like they're nervous, or sometimes, and it happened, I asked them something, but I said it like really quick. So I feel like the level is quite high. Some of them, they just come to practice. Some of them, they come because their partner is Spanish and they force them. But it's fun. I love it.
I asked that because I remember asking several guests before, mm-hmm. and they say they had this shock when they went to a comedy show, and people come to the comedy show to learn English. Mm-hmm. They didn't really come to the comedy show with not English fluency. But I also want to give a shout out to all the non-Spanish performers on the show. It was truly amazing. Michael May, his level of fluency is wow. But then I thought, it's amazing. But yeah, Sergio and I were doing exactly the same thing. Mm-hmm. We perform in a language that is not our native languages. So it's not that I want to push them down or take away the credit they deserve. I actually want to communicate to my English speaking friends. We have all this joke about how to call someone who speak two languages, just bilingual, mm-hmm. how to call someone who speak only one language. And the joke is they're either American or British. Mm-hmm. That is not true. It's possible. No. Oh, it's very doable. And when we see people who do that, they do it really, really well. So if you come into this with the mindset that English speakers are just not made for learning foreign languages, I don't think that's true.
No, some of them don't care. That what I find is like some people don't care, but some people do, and the ones that do care a lot. I always feel like you have, yeah, these two groups of people who don't care and people who care a lot. While in Spain, it's like a lot of people know a bit of English, but it's like really bad, and a lot of people think that their English is amazing and it's not. It's what I find. English people who like speaks another language, they care a lot, and they're very respectful. And some of them, to not say most of them, are quite ashamed that a lot of people only speaks one, and they're quite ashamed that their second language is not better. So they care a lot.
So the performers you have, if they are English speakers and they retain a little bit of the English accent, what's the crowd's attitude towards them? Like curiosity?
They love it.
Appreciative?
They love it because imagine you're a Spanish person. You moved to London 10 years ago and you have friends that they're English, that they don't speak Spanish at all. Some of them, let's say most of them, and I can say that because I've been here for a while, they don't want to learn another language and they just know how to say cerveza and hola in Spanish. Mm. And suddenly you go to a show and an English person goes on stage and tells you jokes in Spanish with the most English accent possible and makes you laugh. So people really appreciate it. And even if, like, we had comedians that they were English and they did their first ever spot on that stage, people are so supportive and happy that they're doing the effort and that they're actually making them laugh. And if suddenly they forget their set, they are not like angry at them. They start clapping and be like, come on, you can do it. Because I feel like everyone in the crowd, every single person in the crowd is people who had to go through
that. They want
that.
You to succeed.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. So if we go to normal commercial venues in English and perform, and this ticketed audience sometimes like, what the you're not quite as funny as I thought it would be, and they may heckle you. But what you're saying is this crowd has such a I want you to succeed mindset that let's pull it together. And you're saying partially because probably every single one of them has gone through that language learning struggle themselves. Yeah. Yeah.
When I go to like an English comedy club, if everyone is English, I would say like a lot of people in the crowd, they don't know what it is to like speak another language or like learn it. While in that room is literally everyone, because it's either Spanish people who had to learn English or English people who are learning Spanish. Mm-hmm. So everyone there knows the struggle. And that's why when I meet like an English person who's trying to learn Spanish and they don't want to talk to me in Spanish because they're like, oh no, I'm shy. You're going to like make fun of me. And I'm like, no, I won't. I went through what you're going through now in another language and I know what it is, and I'm not gonna laugh. And I will appreciate that you're like talking in Spanish, even if it's wrong, even if you say wrong things, I will probably understand you. Or if I don't, I will ask you.
So did the audience literally say or shout out, come on, you can do it? Did that happen?
Oh yeah, it happened. Or it happened even like sometimes comedians just went on and they were doing the set and suddenly forgot something. And they're like, oh, how do you say table in Spanish? And someone's like, oh, mesa. And then, oh, mesa. That it's part of the show. And
it's mesa. So different. I was like, itavoro.
Yeah, no, table is mesa. That's a quality that the show has. It's like, it's so unique. People are just looking at the comedian, like just ready to laugh whenever they see something funny. And if they forget what mesa is, they're like, oh, mesa, yeah, keep going, don't worry, I'm here. And it's so supportive that it's like, it's so cool.
It's such a wonderful atmosphere. If you are an English speaker who speak a little bit Spanish and you're not, I think English people tend to be too humble sometimes. I think go to the show, enjoy it, and your Spanish will improve as well.
Everyone is welcome. And as an MC, I will probably talk to them because I always ask where the English people are. But I always feel, I genuinely think I'm a friendly MC. I'm not a prick.
Yeah.
I go on, I chat, are you English? Oh, and how come you speak Spanish?
You know, it's like, oh, why is your Spanish so broken? Your accent is ludicrous. Ha.
Yeah, no, it's literally the opposite. Yeah. It's literally like they start talking and even if it's like they have an accent or they say something wrong, everyone is like, whoa, they can speak Spanish and they know this word. And suddenly they ask if they don't understand what I ask. They ask the partner and I make fun of it. But it's like, it's never like bad. I don't think I've ever made anyone uncomfortable because they don't speak the language.
An example of something you managed to tweak because of the experience, the lessons, the practice in Barcelona. So something you thought this might work and you try it and actually it requires some more tweaking.
Nothing, to be honest.
Nothing.
Like Barcelona was for me like more the confirmation. It's just that like maybe some references or some words that I need to adapt, but the jokes itself work.
Yeah, and also your pull back and reveal, the comedy technique, you mostly it's the idea. It's the funny idea. You don't so focus on the characteristic of a specific language itself. It's the idea itself is funny. So when you change from one language to another, there was no problem.
No, not at all. Because I do short jokes and it's a joke about, I don't know, someone falling off. It's funny in Spanish and English because it's someone falling off. It's not like a specific word or it's not.
I do wonder, though, whether you develop your jokes in this direction has to do with, because in my last recording, I didn't know. And subsequently, Sergi did two more podcasts and I listened to them. I didn't know.
Oh my God, you're doing like proper research. Okay.
You've done very few podcasts.
Yeah,
That's why I'm grateful for your appearance.
I'm not a big fan. So it's like, I'm here because I like you.
Oh.
But I'm not a big fan of like, I believe on working, writing, going on stage and making people laugh.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe on like just going on a podcast and chat. Mm. The thing is like what you talk on this podcast is something that I feel like I have something to say. When I was starting, there were like no one, or at least I didn't know anyone who did what I did. So I feel like if this can be useful for someone, that's why I want to do it. I want to do it because I like what you do. I like the twist of the podcast.
Thank you.
But yeah, I'm not a big fan of a podcast. In general, I don't really listen to podcasts.
I think you didn't speak English very well when you first came to this country.
I didn't speak English at all.
And you actually used comedy to learn. I didn't know that specific. Yeah. You used performing stand-up comedy in English to learn English. So you would know your lines. You'd know your script well. But outside that, you don't actually talk as fluently.
Yeah.
I didn't know about that.
What I like to say for people to understand it, every single word I'm using now to talk, it's been on my set at some point. Do you know what I mean?
So you're able to convey your idea in certain sentences to me because those words had appeared in your comedy joke.
At some point. Yeah, that's how I've learned English.
So that's where my question was from. I was thinking, you were trying to write jokes in English when you didn't have a full come on in English. Mm-hmm. So you don't have like a full grasp of the language. That's why you were concentrating on the funny idea. And then you find a way to describe them.
Exactly.
Because some people are, for example, some people are big language geeks. So they find all the little perks and peculiarity of the English language and put them into a joke. But that's not how you function, at least not at that time.
No, I'm going to say something. I've never said that to anyone like on a podcast. Basically, besides learning English, I've also learned how to do proper comedy when I started doing comedy in English. And now I'm not going to say that puns are not proper comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started doing comedy in Spanish, the only thing I was doing were puns. I was only doing puns. And then when I moved to English, I couldn't do any puns because puns don't translate.
Yeah.
So I had to learn how to do a proper pullback reveal without playing on words. Mm-hmm.
What we were talking about is, objectively, if your specialty in comedy is puns, that means it's by default more difficult to translate your joke in different languages. And that's a fact.
Yeah.
If you want to do comedy in multiple languages,
it's more difficult.
It's a lot more difficult.
It's just impossible to translate.
Yeah.
Languages are so different. Yes, some words can be similar, but like the way you structure the sentences, the way some puns work on like the double meaning of a word, it's impossible.
I hope this question doesn't bore the listener, but from an organizer perspective, before you commit yourself to this idea, did you look at like some numbers? Because I think online they would say how many Spanish speaking people live in London. Or it just from a general sense, because you host a lot of shows at Angel Comedy, mm-hmm. and there's a much wider distribution of nationality at any given Angel Comedy night compared to a lot of comedy shows outside London. So you will have an idea how often you come across a Spanish speaker. Mm-hmm. Is there any of that, or just like, you know what, let's just give it a go?
I tried to do some research, but I couldn't find exact numbers. I just gave it a go, like the feeling I had at that time after 6 years in the UK. And then after we did a few shows, sometimes I was bumping into like Spanish people. They had been in London for 10 years. And I was like, oh, do you know that we do a Spanish show? And they were like, no. And so I'm like, whoa.
A big gold mine.
Like a lot of people that they've never been or they've heard about that show and they were like, oh yeah, we really wanted to come, but it's always sold out. So we need to find a way to get tickets, which is like also really good advertisement because it always sells out.
So now you're entering a different level of concern. Your concern is not whether you would be able to organize a show. You don't have to worry about canceling a show. You now have to think about what is the right size for the next show, mm-hmm. if you want to do it.
No, because that's not the goal of the show. Comedy Por Favor is not to make money. We want that to be a regular night, that it's always night, always full for comedians that want to come in Spanish to grow. And I know now, seeing the numbers, that we could do like a bigger room, like a 400-seater, 500-seater, and sell it out and make money. But that's not the goal of Por Favor.
To put in your words, that I assume you're trying to create a Spanish comedy scene in the UK.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not even a scene, as in like a
safe, community.
Yeah, a safe place community. Where like comics in Spanish can come and try their things. And it's always nice when some Spanish comedians come and visit London and they have like a space there as well too. Mm-hmm.
So you're trying to create a, an environment where Spanish speaking performers, they can live in the English speaking country, but whilst develop the ability.
Yeah. And also in a selfish way, and that's what I always talk with Soraya, it's mainly for us. It's mainly for me and Soraya to grow. Mm. We have a space now here where I can learn how to emcee in Spanish, where she can see what jokes in Spanish work, whatnot.
Yeah, so it's such a good deed. You don't have to pretend it's selfless. It's just, it's beneficial to a lot of people, including yourself. I know I say I want the focus to be on Comedy Por Favor today, but with limited time, I want to jump to a question on you. Since we last chatted 2 years ago, you've now done shows in Spanish and also in Catalan.
Mm-hmm.
How does it feel to be a truly trilingual performer? You're always a trilingual person, but you are now a performer in three languages. And to your massive credit, which I also enjoy and absolutely adore that you do, you start to put comedy clips on social media in other languages to the same audience, the followers you have, while adding the English caption. I remember before you did, you had an Instagram story asking people, would you want to watch me performing in Spanish with English subtitle? Can you talk me through the thought process and how it happened and the feedback afterwards?
Yeah, I feel like I've always wanted to do it, but I had to give it a lot of thinking because I was like, should I just create two other accounts and have one account for like each language? But I know a lot of people follow me because they're like English, but they also speak Spanish, or like Spanish, but they live in another country and they speak English, but also a bit of Spanish, blah, blah, blah. And I felt if I can have a video of me performing in Spanish with English subtitles, everyone who follows me is going to be able to understand it. So I'm like, let's try and give it a go. And some of the videos I posted in Spanish in my English account did really well. So I was like, let's keep doing this. I'm still learning. Every single language is a different world and I need to adapt lots of things and I get angry a lot. these crowds are so different and I don't know how to play them sometimes. Sometimes I do a gig in a language that's not English and people don't laugh as much, or something happens and I get upset at myself, but it's because of how they react.
Yeah.
Spanish and Catalan people clap to comedy shows.
Yeah.
They clap so much. And this is something I always say as an example, but like, I'm the one who needs to adapt here and get used to this clapping that breaks my timing when I'm on stage.
Yeah, you need to factor that in.
Yeah, because I was not, and I was getting frustrated. And I, at the beginning when I was doing shows, I was like, can you just stop clapping? Don't clap me. Clap at the end. I haven't finished.
Just laugh.
Yeah, just because what I realized, and I'm learning in the process, and what I've learned now is Spanish people, sorry, I'm going to go on a tangent now. Just
go for it.
Spanish people, when it's a big laugh, they just like, they start laughing a bit. When it's growing, they stop laughing and start clapping. Because it's more tiring to laugh out loud than to clap. So they're like, ah.
That's interesting.
And it's very frustrating. And sometimes I'm just like, oh, clapping again. I'm like, no, just laugh. It's a big laugh. Keep laughing. That's one of the big differences that I'm getting used to. I'm just learning how to perform in these three languages because it's so different. I don't think I will ever stop learning, but it's a long learning process. So yeah, well, that was the question.
The question was also, if you're thinking about whether to do I'm talking about, for example, the Instagram clip, but in Spanish, it has to do with the changing world, in that the world is getting more interconnected and the new generation embracing different cultures more. Not everyone, but there's a bigger percentage of people who do so. And chances are, you can't please everyone. So there may be some people, they follow you. And as soon as they see something that's not in the language they're used to, some people might just unfollow or swipe away. And that's one of the risks. Your choice as a comedian is, you have people who like that, people who dislike that. If I were you, I might be thinking, if you hear me speaking another language without even reading the caption, if that sound of foreign language annoys you directly, maybe it's better or safer for you not to follow me.
They wouldn't have followed me otherwise.
Yeah.
And I find it, I don't know, at least for me, when I see a comedian doing comedy in another language, but I can understand it because of the subtitles.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I watch that. Like sometimes we watch movies in a language that we don't know at all, but like because of the subtitles, you know what they're saying. So I feel like as long as they put English subtitles, they're going to
be fine. What I'm saying. I think because of Netflix, you have a lot of English speakers that are okay with just understanding via the subtitles.
You also have to bear in mind that a lot of people, and I don't know the percentage, and I think it was quite high, watches videos online without the sound, like the real. So if you put the English subtitles, even if the show is in Spanish, and I'm talking in Spanish, they're not listening to that. So they're just seeing the subtitles.
Oh, yes, that is absolutely true. Yeah. So if you have a Spanish content, but with English subtitle, do they do necessary better or worse, or is still case by case?
I always say if the clip is good, it will work either way.
It's down to the quality of the joke and the idea, how funny it is.
Yeah. One of the best performing videos on my Instagram now is in Spanish. A Spanish clip that I'm talking with an English person and he's speaking Spanish to me and it's with English subtitles.
Yeah.
And it's easy to understand. And in my opinion, it's not that funny. Sometimes it's really frustrating when you like spend hours on writing a joke and it works and blah, blah, blah. You post it and it gets nothing. And then a silly crowd work clip gets loads and you're like, why? But this is how it works.
I couldn't find the evidence. As you went back to Barcelona, you were interviewed by the TV station about doing shows in Spanish and Catalan. It was like, I would say, coming full circle, homecoming moment. But I couldn't find any evidence of that. What did they ask you? What did you talk about?
For them, I guess because a lot of people speak English in Spain, it's not that of like the big deal is not on doing comedy in English. That it is as well, but it's more like how you left the country and made a living out of that without knowing anyone.
Oh,
that's more like what seemed more interesting for them. Yeah, just build it from zero and ended up like just making a living out of that. That's what they're more interested in.
Have you done a Catalan one in the UK?
Yeah.
In the UK?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, sold out as well. It was crazy.
Wow.
And it was for the 23rd of April for Catalan people is Sant Jordi. It's our St. Valentine's Day. And I did the show and I bought 100 roses. I was at the door before the show and I was giving one rose to every single person who came to the show.
Imagine your Catalan brothers and sisters when they managed to come to a show in their mother tongue in London. Oh my goodness. I don't think I'll ever be fluent in Taiwanese to perform. But recently I was asked to go on a podcast that is in full Taiwanese. I haven't spoken it really since my grandma passed away like 20 years ago. So I was taking online
Yeah, it's a lot. The language that now sometimes I struggle to talk, sometimes it's Spanish, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because at home, I've always spoken in Catalan.
Yes.
Always. Then my day-to-day life in London is in English. Spanish, I'm fine and I'm native, but...
You don't use it as much here.
I don't use it as much. I have a really strong accent because I'm Catalan, so people can tell I'm Catalan when they hear me in Spanish because I have a really strong
accent. When I listen to your podcast, I can tell the different accent between you and Soraya.
Yeah.
But Soraya speaks so fast.
She's from Madrid and I'm from Barcelona, so like the difference is massive. I have a really strong accent, yeah.
What's the difference doing the same language show in Spain and in the UK? Is there a tangible difference?
Oh, yes. I feel... And that's what I'm trying to work out. Because basically, Spanish people in London, you can do the same comedy doing English. They get it and they react in the same way. And they are woke in the same level as people in London.
You're talking about progressive attitudes.
Yeah, about certain jokes. They get offended by, like, there's topics that you cannot talk about with Spanish speakers in London. But then you go to Spain and it's a completely different thing.
You're going there. Well, come on, first I got to the first episode we did on... on the social value. Because you gave me the example of the joke you wrote about your Chinese flatmate. Remember that one?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Also, Spanish people in London are not as clappy. They are still a bit, but not as clappy.
They've gone half native.
Because they know, they've been to comedy clubs, some of them already. It's very, very interesting to see how Spanish crowds in London behave like Brits sometimes.
So in a way, you didn't just develop a different Spanish performing mode. In that mode subcategory, you still have to mentally remind yourself, this is a Spanish gig, but I'm performing to Spanish people who've emigrated and live in the UK, kind of like a Spanish people home crowd.
Yeah, it's very different. Again, I'm learning and I'm trying to figure it out, but it's a long process that I'm enjoying big time. I'm enjoying it a lot.
Absolutely wonderful, amazing. I have no more to add. The time is almost up. There are questions I didn't manage to ask today. Our time is up. It was just absolutely amazing. This whole idea of a Spanish comedy show in an English-speaking city. I will be a very big and multinational, multicultural city. It is still amazing for what you achieve, what you provide for the Spanish-speaking people.
Thank you
for taking the time.
Thank you.
The podcast. This is just, I'm going to say it again. I don't say a lot. This is a podcast I love and I adore. Appreciation of languages and foreign culture and cross-cultural differences is all that's being celebrated. And I am so glad that I record this episode. And this will be the 50th episode. So
Whoa.
A milestone.
Milestone.
All right. Okay, I'm going to thank my guest today. That's Sergi Polo.
You
have a lot of followers, but it doesn't hurt. Let's just say, how do we find you again on social media?
It's Sergi Polo, S-E-R-G-I-P-O-L-O _ and everywhere, yeah.
Sergi also had this great podcast with Soraya in Spanish. Currently is on a little
on a break, but it's gonna be a year of break, but it will something will happen eventually.
Yeah, Los de Londres. You can find it. Los de Londres. Right, thank you, Sergi. I will come back to the next episode. Bye.